This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer, provider, protector, curer of one and all. The one who has absolute control of every aspect of existence. Indeed, we praise Him. And no matter how much we praise Him, it will never be enough. But we ask Him to accept the amount of praise that we engage in and to grant us the ability to continue in that and to increase it. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who was sent to remove us from darkness to light. And at the same time, we send blessings and salutations upon all the messengers who were sent from the beginning of the creation of man up to today to guide mankind, those who were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive revelation, to endure the hardship that came with the deliverance of that revelation to the masses. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless their companions. And from amongst these we include also the Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him, Moses, Musa alayhi salam, may peace be upon him, Abraham, may peace be upon him, and all the others. And we ask the Almighty to bless everyone who has struggled over the years to learn the goodness, to put it into practice, to convey it to others in a way that today it has come to us. And may we be blessed as well. And may we also be from amongst those who try our best to learn. It's not so easy sometimes to go out and learn. And it's not so easy to continue seeking this knowledge of the deen. But we ask the Almighty to grant us the strength to do that, to put it into practice, and to convey the message at least to our own children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, that was a beautiful dua at the beginning of this particular talk where we are speaking about the Quran. It is a miracle. It is the revelation that was the final piece of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The revelation started from the creation of man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to divide it both as time passed, as well as the messengers that held the message and delivered it. The Almighty chose to divide it in such a way that the final message would be the most powerful, and it would be the miracle of that particular nation. The nation happens to be us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the miracle of this Quran. So it has in it the completion of what appears in the Torah, as well as the Injil, which is the Bible, as well as the previous books, the Psalms of David and so on, the scriptures of Abraham that we may not have in our hands today. And we do acknowledge that even the Christians would acknowledge that the Bible has so many different versions, at least 40. But the Quran has come to complete the original script of the Bible, which may not be present in the hands of the Christians today, even according to them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. It is such a book that just by listening to it, it soothes you. And it soothes not only the Muslim and the non-Muslim, but wallahi, I promise you, it soothes the creation. If you were to read the Quran, the creatures around you bear witness that you have read. The walls, the floors, the ceilings, the plants, the water. And there are so many researches that are happening as time passes, which go to prove that even the plants react to the recitation of the Quran and some of what Islam and the Quran has called to. And at the same time, water also reacts to the recitation of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it such that He has declared in the Quran سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. We will continue showing them signs within themselves and on the horizons until it is proven to them beyond any doubt whatsoever that the Quran is the truth. So there will be signs which will prove that the Quran is correct. Science sometimes discovers something. If that finding happens to negate or go against what is in the Quran, we believe that science is moving through a phase of discoveries, and it shall soon, whether it means a decade or two decades or more or less, it shall soon come to a new finding that will conform to what is in the Quran. I give you a little example. There was a time when the scientists had said that the sun does not move at all. It's the earth that moves. So there were some people who saw the results of this finding and studied the experiments and the research and so on. And they said at the time, there is a mistake in the Quran. Because in Surah Yasin, Allah says, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. The sun moves to its fixed place. They said it doesn't move. It's the earth that moves. So decades later, after so many people, or when we say so many, obviously it's relative. So after the people who had negated the verse of the Quran probably died upon that, it was then discovered that the sun moves, but very little. The Quran did not discuss the issue of how much the Quran moves. It just said it moves. So it took them so many years to modify and to come to a conclusion that yes, it definitely does move. There is movement of the sun. And this is why if you take a look at Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah speaks of something strange. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Lord of the two Easts, Lord of the two Wests, which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? Allah is making mention of something that might baffle us. Why does He say two Easts and two Wests? So there are many explanations for that. One of them is that the sun rises from the east, sets in the west. We know that. But the exact position of it changes between the seasons of the year. Amazing. Amazing. So in winter, you find it in one position towards the east. And in summer, you find it in a different position, but towards the east as well. So this is something that was found. Obviously, it's not so difficult to figure that out. But people will ask, why is the Quran contradicting itself? No. Allahu Akbar. And in another verse, Allah says, فَلَا أُقُسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ. Taking an oath, indeed. Taking an oath by the Lord of the Easts and the Wests. So that means there are several places. The point being raised here is, as time passed, people acknowledged that yes, there is an east. But what do we mean? When we speak of exact positioning, it changes between the seasons or from season to season. Amazing. This is just one example. Getting back to the example of the sun moving. So when they acknowledged that yes, indeed, it does move, what happened to those who died in the condition of what we would term disbelieving in the verse of the Quran? They lost out big time. May Allah protect us. So we believe that the Quran, it comes from the Creator Himself. I can give you a little example which is very far from what we are saying, but to draw it closer to our understanding, we may look at technology of today. You have your phones, your mobile phones. Every other day, they are updated. There is a change. You have the S4. Soon you will have the S5. The phones have so much that a lot of us never use every aspect of what that phone has. You know, we have, for example, maybe the S2, S3, S4. You notice I'm sticking to Samsung. We're closer to Korea here. And you will have the phone, but they will tell you this thing has eye recognition, it has this, it has that, and we've never used that. And yet we've had the phone for so long, and then we've updated the phone without having even used it. But we cannot deny that it exists on the phone. And at the same time, in order to understand it best, we will have to look at the manual or the instruction booklet and understand it from the manufacturer himself. We as human beings and the creation around us was created by the supreme creator, the deity, the one who owns the universe and the one whom we are going to return to. And therefore, he has made it very natural for us to ask questions. As we grow old, what are the questions you are supposed to ask if you are a normal human being? Why am I here? Why am I here? That's a question. Do not rest until you find the answer. Where was I before I was born? Do not rest until you find the answer. And where am I going after I die? Don't rest until you find the answer. The reason why we say these are some of the important questions. You will never know your purpose of existence here. And why is it you become old? Why do you suffer sickness? Why do we as mankind suffer what is known as death, and we look at it as a big loss, huge loss? This person is gone. But you have to go. No matter how healthy you are, at the end of the day, that circle has to close. Nobody has had it unclosed besides Jesus, the son of Mary. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. Isa alayhi salam. Not yet closed, his circle. But it shall come when that circle too will be closed by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to ask ourselves these questions. Where was I? How will you find the answers? Those who don't believe in a religion will not be able to answer those questions satisfactorily. It cannot just be a coincidence. If I am so sophisticated that I have my organs all planted in a specific place and everything so perfectly put, and I am a human being that is so perfect, I can think and so on, that cannot be a coincidence, because this podium I am using right now with the sound system is less sophisticated than I am. And it definitely cannot just pop up here without someone having put it there for a purpose. Whether that purpose was relevant or irrelevant is besides the point. But someone put it here. So if this thing cannot appear here on its own without the involvement of someone, then how can man just pop up, who is much more sophisticated, on his own without a purpose or just to enjoy the few years? And if it really was the case that we had to enjoy the few years, why is it that there are so few years? Which means 70, to be honest with you, is a joke in comparison to what is to come according to us, the believers. 70 is so short that you take anyone, even from amongst us, who has clocked the age of 70, which is, it's not the ceiling, but it's the average, and ask them, what did you achieve in your life? They will speak to you, if you ask them for a synopsis, for not more than half an hour. And if they are really people who've achieved so much, perhaps 1 hour, they will talk to you. And they will give you the highlights of what they have achieved in their life. A lot of us would be just 10 minutes, like myself. 10 minutes we talk, and that's it. That's what I achieved in life. And I ask Allah to accept the good and to forgive the bad. So if your whole existence can be summarized, the highlights of, in only 10-20 minutes, do you really think that that meant, or this was supposed to be a life that we had to just thoroughly enjoy? Because those who did that, their synopsis would go down in one sentence. They would say, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Over. Yes. Is that what you're here for? I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I did what my mind told me to do. So you ask a question, you will not find the proper answers unless you look into revelation. And then when you look into revelation, and we respect all faiths, you know, acknowledging that we are different, we respect the right of the individuals to belong to different faiths. But at the same time, we are so fortunate we have answers in the Quran that leave no doubt in the hearts and the minds of those who choose to believe. Amazing. You look, why, where was I before I was made? So Allah says,
هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا.
In question form, Allah is drawing our attention at the beginning of Surah Al-Dahr, which is named after the time. Has a time not passed? Has a time not come or passed where man was nothing to be mentioned? Like I always say, we are either referred to as he or she, and the animals are referred to as it, and sometimes the creatures that don't have life are also referred to as it. But we passed through a stage when we were neither he, nor she, nor it. My life is so full today that I can feel when I twist my finger the other way a little bit more, and I can walk, and I have such a strong presence, just like all of us do, that it is impossible for me to think even for a split moment that I was nowhere at all before I was born. My life is too complete for me to digest someone's statement that says we were nowhere and we are heading nowhere. So Allah answers these questions and He speaks to us.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ أَوْ تَقُولُوا إِنَّمَا أَشْرَكَ آبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَكُنَّا ذُرِّيَّةً مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ أَفَتُهْلِكُنَا بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ.
Allah says, in these amazing verses of the Quran, reminding us of something that happened a long, long time ago that our little brains of today will not remember. Allah says, remember when we took the progeny of Adam from his back. This is one of the translations of this verse. All of us were there in soul form. He says, we took it, we took all of you, and we brought you forth to ask you one question. What was the question? Am I not your Lord? Am I not your Creator? And we all said, indeed you are. We all answered. So Allah says, I don't want you to come on the day of judgment and say that I have been forgetful. I don't remember. I don't recall. I have worshipped others besides you. We are oblivious of it. Do not become oblivious. So Allah says, as a gift to you, O mankind, we send you reminders. These reminders will answer questions that these brains have asked. And this is the Quran. And the messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's important for us to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verses that I've just read moments ago, that he or the person who comes about and says that I am totally oblivious of this. I saw my forefathers engaging in something and I engaged in it blindly. That is not a good enough answer. Allah says, such people will say, are you destroying us because of them? And Allah says, but we gave you your own mind. At a certain point, you know, at the age of puberty, you are supposed to start asking questions. And these questions, you will keep on searching for answers until you find satisfactory answers. Subhanallah. And you will definitely incline towards revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us the Quran. And here we have it in front of us. Like I said, it has power. It is miraculous, not only in its meaning and in its recitation, but by listening to it, the soothing feeling that the heart would receive.
has penetrated even the non-Muslims. So you find in today's world, there are so many, and I have come across a lot, who say we are not Muslim, but we like to listen to the Quran. Even though we don't understand, it is music to our ears. That's their way of wording it. It is something soothing. If you are feeling very low and very down, if you are a believer, you will definitely achieve a lot of goodness from the Quran. A lot of it. In the sense that you just need to listen to some recitation of a tone that suits your liking. This is why one of the miracles of the Quran is that it can be read in so many different tones. You have a high-pitched voice. You have the words that come out very strong. You have those that come out very melodious, very low, very slow. And it depends on your mood. Different people like different reciters. Up to today, we have websites that are dedicated to uploading so many different readers. You just need to pick on one that soothes you. And subhanallah, you will achieve the comfort. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Indeed, a reminder has come to you from your creator, your nourisher, your sustainer, your protector, your provider. A reminder has come to you from him, your Rabb. وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And in it, cure for that which is in the hearts, the diseases of the heart. So you have cure for the diseases of the heart. The diseases of the heart are divided into two. If I were to ask you, what are the diseases of the heart? I think a lot of us would say malice, jealousy, hatred, envy, and so on. But to be honest, the power of the Quran is such that every disease you have of a physical nature is also diagnosable by looking into the heart and the blood that it pumps. If I want to check a sickness, what do? Test the blood, number one. You can see whether you have this disease or that. May Allah grant us cure. I can see, for example, where I stand, how many vitamins I have, what shortage I have, and so on. So Allah says, the Quran will help you inside out. Your physical health and your spiritual health. So when we say fis sudur, we might be thinking that we are talking about only the spiritual side of it. Yet Allah says, no, even the physical side of it. And this is why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a beautiful hadith, which a lot of us should be knowing, it appears in Al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhu, where he speaks about halal and haram. At the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَى إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. Behold, in this body there is a piece of flesh. If it is pure and good, the entire body will be pure and good. And if it is dirty and impure, not good, then the entire body will be impure, not good, or sick, suffering ailment. Behold, that piece of flesh is the heart. So amazing. People think, okay, that means my spirituality is important. No, it includes the physical sickness. If your heart and the blood it pumps is in order, your body is in order. If not, your body is also not in order. You will find out through your blood. That's a miracle of the hadith, miracle of the Quran. So Allah says, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And after that He says, وَهُدَى, and it has guidance in it. What? The Quran. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ. It has guidance and mercy. So He addresses us by saying, O mankind, we have sent to you a book, a reminder from your Rabb, from your Maker. And after that, He goes on to speak of how it has guidance in it and mercy for those who believe in it. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So one is to read it, Muslims and non-Muslims will benefit. But the greater benefit requires you to believe in it. And if we go back to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that he recited verses, they loved listening to him. Even in Makkah, where they hated his guts, astaghfirullah. They hated him. They were fearing their power, their wealth, their position in society. They thought this man is coming to take away everything. So what happened? They used to say, put your fingers in your ears when you listen to the Quran, so that you may be, or when the Quran is being recited, so that you may be successful, you may be victorious. But themselves, they used to quietly go at night and listen to the Quran. We're talking of the leaders of Quraysh. It is documented in the books of history. The historians have made mention of Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Al-Akhnas ibn Shuraiq, amongst others, their incidents. So one of the incidents was that the three of them at night, remember that time there was no electricity like we have right now. At that time at night it was dark, besides your little candle or qandil that you might have had, you know, a small lantern, there was no light. Most of them wouldn't use it unnecessarily because they didn't want to waste it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read beautiful recitation in a low tone at night in his room. And they used to come tiptoeing quietly at night around his home, and they used to sit and listen, the leaders of Quraysh, which means the chief enemies. And they used to listen quietly. The first day, as they were leaving, one crossed the other one's path, and the two of them crossed the path of the third one. Each one is asking, where were you at this time of the night? They tried to present their tales and excuses, but then they said, no, come on, be serious, where were you? No, I was listening to Muhammad, the Quran. What? You were listening? Well, what were you doing? I was doing the same thing. The two of you were listening there? What were you doing? I was there as well. Okay, we are the leaders of Quraysh. We cannot allow this to happen. Never. It shouldn't be the case. It should never be the case. We need to go away. And we need to promise that we'll never come back. They promised. How did we get the story? We got the story from various narrators. One of them was one of those who was there as well, Abu Sufyan. Later on, he became a Muslim and he recalls the incident with a smile. So the next day, they tiptoed quietly thinking that the others are not going to come. Each one thought, the next man already promised, so let me go. The same thing repeated itself the second day and the third day until each one of them had to take oaths on their gods and their various other creatures that we will never ever return here. And after that they didn't. But they declared that definitely this book has a sweetness. It is magnetic. It has something in it. The power to draw your attention. Subhanallah. I enjoy reading the verses of the Quran even if people don't understand the Arabic. Because that is the word of God. That is the word of it. This is why when we find a translation of the Quran, mostly we are taught that when you want to translate, it is your attempt to explain the word of Allah. You may have errors in your explanation. The wording you might have used might not be ideal, or the Quran is so powerful that it uses, or it has in one verse hundreds of different meanings that can be included in it. So sometimes you find people have translated one aspect, someone else has translated another aspect. Very few would combine more than one aspect, but this is part of the Quran. It is the miracle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in it such power that even if you don't understand the language, it has this magnetizing effect because it is the word of your maker. How can it not have the magnetizing effect? And this is why at loss is he or she who doesn't like to listen to the Quran at loss. May Allah protect us. Something definitely wrong with spirituality. I always say, replace all your unnecessary discs and so on with the Quran. And don't worry. You know, there was a young man who told me once that I heard you talk and you said replace your music CDs with that of different reciters. He said, and I thought of it for a while, and one day I was so upset because of something that happened and I decided, okay, I'll throw all this away and replace it. And I replaced it, and most of my friends are not Muslim. And he says, out of 10, 9 of them said, this is so beautiful. This is something unique. And he said, I was busy thinking that it's going to be embarrassment for me to have this playing whilst my non-Muslim friends are around. So I wanted to turn it off. And they say, no, turn it on a bit louder. We want to hear what it is. So he said, I want to tell you one thing. I learned that sometimes we are more embarrassed of our own faith than the non-Muslims. They are waiting for a day when they can hear something powerful for them to be soothed so it can incline them towards the Maker, the Creator. Yet we sometimes don't give them that opportunity because of the term embarrassment. May Allah protect us. Something powerful. They are waiting. It's your duty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly that this Quran has been sent down in order for you to contemplate over its verses. In Surah Sad, Allah says,
كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ.
A book that we have revealed to you in order that its verses may be pondered over, and in order for it to be a reminder for those with sound intellect, those with the mind. This is why your mind is supposed to make you ask questions. The Quran has the answers for all those questions. So these people decided, never going to come back again. Yet, later, Abu Sufyan says that he knew deep down that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was right. And he said this later. Much later. The same applies to Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, a man who fought the Muslims for so many years and killed so many Muslims. And one day he comes up to Medina Munawwara on his own and he declares his belief in Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declares that as you enter the fold of Islam, so your past evil is wiped out. Your good carries through, but your bad is deleted. That's when you accept Islam. The good that you've done in the past is carries through. But the bad you've done is what is deleted. So Khalid ibn al-Walid, he says later on that whenever I fought the Muslims, I tried very hard to get to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to eradicate him. And he says, I knew ar-rajulu mamnu'a. This person is out of bounds. I cannot get to him. I'm trying my hardest. I am a professional warrior, commander. I've never ever been able to get to him. And I know deep down I'm not going to be able to get to him. And he declared this later on, that in my heart, I knew that these people are correct. We are wrong. Allahu Akbar. So today you have people who are enemies of Islam. Their hearts sometimes know that the Muslims are correct. Sometimes I feel that we are being fought just because we are right. That's what I feel sometimes. And sometimes I feel that we are being fought because we are increasing in number against all odds. Allahu Akbar. When I say against all odds, every time they try their tricks, Islam is growing further. Every time they make it more difficult. You know, after the banning of, for example, the hijab and so many other things that have happened, just watching from a distance, more and more people enter the fold of Islam. And we are sitting and thinking, subhanallah, whilst some Muslims might abandon a few of the Islamic teachings, Allah says very, very clearly, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you are going to turn away, we will replace you with others who will not be like you. So, I am replaceable, and so are you. Allah says, it's your goodness if you believe and do good. Remain upright. Islam is not a religion of barbarism, nor is it a religion of terrorism, nor does it teach us not to live in harmony and peace with those around us. No, Islam teaches us goodness. Every non-Muslim is looked at as a potential Muslim. Those who sometimes are engaging in dirty acts are perhaps hijacking Islam for their own personal gain and sometimes for a political nature. May Allah protect us. We need to understand this. We are supposed to be the most beautiful of people. I am overwhelmed by the attendance here in Singapore this evening. Wallahi, you are my brothers and sisters in one of two ways. Either you are a brother or sister of mine in faith, and so I care for you, or you are a brother or sister of mine in humanity, and so I care for you. Allahu Akbar. This is something I know and I believe I was taught. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst the people were engaged in tawaf or circumambulation around the Kaaba, in the condition of nakedness, he looked down and continued saying, "O people, declare that there is none worthy of worship besides your Maker, and you will be successful. O people, declare that there is none worthy of worship besides your Maker, and you will be successful. O people, declare that there is none worthy of worship besides your Maker, and you will be successful." He kept on repeating, "Ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." He did the same when it came for the Hajj or the pilgrimage, which was paganized at the time, and they were doing so many wrong things. He kept on uttering those words, but he knew that these people are, they share humanity with me. And if I have shown them the goodness, I receive a bonus. You know, it reminds me of, and I have to bring these examples, it reminds me of business, or let's say, for example, the frequent flying programs that a lot of the airlines have. They tell you, if you introduce someone to us, we give you 2,500 bonus miles. You introduce someone to our business, we give you a voucher. Some people say that. You bring 10 people to our restaurant, your meal is free. Allahu Akbar. But in Islam, you introduce one person to Islam, it could be your means of salvation on the Day of Judgment. وَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعَمِ. Wallahi, if Allah has guided you, or has guided through you, a single person, it is better for you than whatever of the most valuable material items this world has or holds. Amazing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down this Quran. And in it, there are three main types of verses. Let's listen carefully. Three main types of verses in the Quran. All these verses are relevant. We learn lesson from. We derive a lot of spirituality from. Not only that, rules and regulations as well. The first type of verses, stories of the past. The Quran, the bulk of it is stories of the people of aforetime. The story of Moses makes up the bulk of the Quran. Did you know that? Most of it. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Beautiful. And remember when we sent Moses with our signs and with clear authority, we sent Moses to his people, to the Pharaoh, إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ, to the Pharaoh and his chiefs, his cronies. So why are those verses there? Allah says, وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِن قَبْلُ, and Noah called out to us in the past, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, so we responded to him. It shows us that people greater than me and you have called out to Allah. They were not arrogant to say, "I'm a man, I'll do it on my own." You know, sometimes when we have intellect or we have wealth or we are powerful, someone offers to assist us, we look at them and say, "No, I'll do it on my own." And you know you're going to struggle. It happens to us sometimes. Human nature. So Allah is saying, no, the highest of the lot were the prophets. They all called out to us. There is a whole surah called Al-Anbiya. And in that surah, Allah makes mention of how the messengers one by one called out to Allah. وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى. Noah called out to us a long time ago. He kept on calling out to us. We responded the call. The idea is, are you ready to call out to us? Will you be persistent and consistent? Will you have the conviction? And will you be able to continue calling out until the response comes? Will you understand that we've heard you and we will do for you what is best for you? If the answer is no, you learned nothing from the story of Noah. Allah says, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. Ayyub, Job, may peace be upon him. Remember, go back and look. He called out to his Rabb, Allah is telling you. Why? What did he say? He says, "Oh my Rabb, I am sick, I am ill, I have suffered a lot, I need your help, there is none other than you. I have wronged myself, and so on. And Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We answered, we responded his call. Those who don't have children, may Allah grant us offspring. Look at the Quran, it gives you hope. And it tells you that we do it for a reason. We delay your offspring for a reason. We give you males alone without a female for a reason. We sometimes give you females alone without a male for a reason. And sometimes we give you both for a reason. But you need to go to the Quran. Look, the giver of life, the giver of gender, the giver of whatever we have. He chooses whom to give, who to give, what to give, when to give, and how to give. Whether to give or not. Allahu Akbar. That is Allah. That is the power of the Maker. I need to believe. Without belief, I will become depressed. Ya Allah, you have not given me children. If I say why, I'm so angry, I'm upset. Allah says, it's up to us. Look at Surah Al-Kahf. Allah has a story in it that depicts something miraculous. Something that a lot of our attention is not drawn to in a rush. You need deep thinking. Allah says that Moses met a man. We say he was called Al-Khidr. This is in Surah Al-Kahf. And Allah says, when Moses met this man, Allah had told him, we have given him pockets of knowledge more than you. Which means in certain aspects, we have granted him some things with a greater understanding than you, although you're a messenger. Moses was shocked, Musa alayhi salam. But he wanted to know, he was curious. So Allah gave him a sign. Long story short, he arrived and he saw the man and he asked him, can I be in your company? The man says, no, cannot be in my company. What's the reason? You won't understand what I'm doing and you will keep on questioning me. So I won't be able to tolerate that. So Musa alayhi salam says, I promise you I won't. Won't question you. I'll just look, observe. He says, okay, on that condition, let's go. So as they went, the first thing he did, well, there were three things that he did. One of them was, out of the blue, they decided to cross the river on a boat to go downstream. And this man made a hole in the boat. And Moses says, why did you do that? He says, didn't I tell you you won't be able to tolerate the questions? So he says, okay, no problem. I'm quiet. Anyway, he messed the boat. Imagine someone gives you a lift and you take, for example, a lighter. A lighter, you might get caught actually. Say you take a little knife and you start cutting his seat while he's not looking. What's the point? What are you trying? What are you achieving? That's wrong. Totally. My mind and your mind will never understand that. It is prohibited to the degree that you are penalized. You will be penalized. Even if that man was not a Muslim, may Allah protect us. You cannot just do that to anyone and everyone, just like that. So now what happened? The next thing, Musa alayhi salam walks with this man. They come across a young boy, and this man executed him and carried on walking. What did you do? I told you, you won't understand. Now, this obviously people might say, look, execution is a little bit heavy. I've had so many people telling me so many things. The Quran is from Allah. Allah is just drawing your attention to an example. It is something that happened in the past. He is now drawing a lesson for me and you. So let's not go into penalizing someone who might have done something. We don't know the circumstances surrounding it. We have not been informed the whole thing. There could have been a crime or something, anything, whatever has happened. Only Allah knows. We just want to take the lesson from it and carry on. So this is why some people look at the Quran and for mistakes. So what is perfect, when you keep on looking at it, you might see a flaw in it. You know, when you have a dazzling light and you've looked into this nur, a light. Today we have these powerful lights all around. If I were to look into it for a little while, it is so pure, so powerful that after that, if I'm to look at you, I probably will see your face with a shine in it. I won't be able to look at your identity. Brother, sorry, who are you? Can't you see? Your eyes are open. So who are you, brother? Why? Because I saw the dazzling light. I looked into it such that now when I look down, I really found fault in what I was seeing. It's just the dazzling. So let's look at the Quran with the right eye. Let's understand its perfection, its perfectness. Yes, you may ask questions regarding the Quran that you don't understand with the idea of finding answers. But people who look into the Quran and say, we want to find mistakes in it. Believe me, I've come across non-Muslims who do this. And at the end of the day, they know deep down that we've just found things and we're just peddling them. Things that are totally irrelevant and that don't help at all. But we just want to confuse the lay mind. May Allah protect us. So Musa alayhi salam, the third thing that happened, they entered a little town. And when they entered the town, these are all miracles of the Quran. We are looking at the Quran. He entered the town, Allah says, and they, with his companion, with Al-Khidr, and they were hungry. They required a little bit of hospitality, accommodation. They asked the people. The people refused. They said, okay, we'll leave. They refused. Imagine you going and people say, no, not here. You don't stop here. Out. So as they were leaving, they saw a wall that was about to collapse. So this man took his time, effort, energy, and he corrected the wall, rebuilt it such that it was strong and it stood straight. And then he went away. So Musa says, may peace be upon him. He says, you know what? These people refused to accommodate us, to give us food and accommodation completely. Now you repaired their wall. If you wanted, we could have told them, we'll repair the wall and you give us something. He says, didn't I say you won't bear patience with what I'm doing? He says, that's enough. I'm not going to be your companion and I'm not going to allow you to be with me anymore. And it ended there. The two separated. Before they separated, he explains the will of Allah. And this is the Quran. Look at why the verses are there. He says, you see that boat, further upstream or downstream, whichever way they were going, there was a tyrant ruler who was stealing all the good boats. So he would look at the boat, see there's no defect, and steal it. And these youngsters who, they were so good, they were innocently trying to earn a living, I made a little hole which they can repair. And as a result, the whole boat will be saved. It reminds me of an uncle, may Allah grant him goodness, 2 weeks ago back at home, one of my good friends and uncle, his leg was amputated in order to preserve the rest of his body. You seeing that? They said, if you leave it there, it's going to spread. You need to amputate it. So they amputated it. And you know, you have to do that sometimes. I'm sure from amongst us, there may be some who have had operations to remove some parts of the body in order to save other parts of the body. May Allah grant you goodness. But if you look at this story, they cut out part of the boat in order to save the whole boat. And still that other part was patched. The boat was saved. Second part. That young boy would have grown up. Oh, when I read this, I think to myself, subhanallah, I'm so happy that Allah has given us the explanation of these. That young boy would have grown up, subhanallah, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being a burden upon his parents. And therefore what I did by the will of Allah is his execution was ordained and instructed by Allah to me, and so I fulfilled it so that Allah can replace him with a better child who will grow up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. Now, we are not allowed to take a ruling from that. Never. You cannot take a wrong ruling from that. No. Some people might say, oh, does that mean that you Muslims are allowed to go out and look at unruly kids and execute them? How foolish. You haven't understood the Quran. You cannot do that. But here Allah is showing you something. One of the most powerful lessons that we learn is Allah knows the past. يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِذَا كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. Allah knows the past. He knows the present and the future. What is happening and what will happen, He knows it. And do you know what other category He knows? If you go home and you think about it, it'll come to light further. If you can't see the light immediately. He knows what is not going to happen in the future and was never going to happen in the future. If for some reason it were to happen, how it would have happened is in the knowledge of Allah. Can I say that again? He knows the past. He knows what has happened, what is happening, what will happen. And He knows what will not happen in the future, what was never going to happen in the future. If it had happened, how it would have happened is also part of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know that? This child was not going to live It was never in his destiny for him to live longer than that point. But Allah says, had he lived, and he was never going to live because that was his end. Had he lived, we know where he would have been. The same applies to the boat. It was never going to be taken by the king because it was going to have a hole in it. But Allah says, had it had a hole, had it not had the hole, we know where it would have been. We guarantee you that that's where it would have gone. Amazing. So what we've actually drawn from this powerful, powerful portion of the Quran is many lessons. One of them is the knowledge of Allah and its power. So going back to you not having children, Allah knows the future. He knows I'm not going to give you. May Allah grant us through His mercy. So that you can keep on making dua, you can have your conviction, you can keep your salah in order, you can keep your prayers and your supplications, you can be a person who's always concerned. Had we given you, in some cases, whatever you willed, perhaps you might have forgotten us. And Allah knows, maybe if we gave you a child, and we took that child away at the age of 7 or 8, through a disease or sickness or accident or any other way, it would have been much more difficult for you to handle. So don't blame us for not having given you from the very beginning. We did you a favor. Allahu Akbar. So when you go back to that surah, you learn to surrender to the decree of Allah and you learn to understand. But if you don't know how to look at the Quran, you will never be able to draw that lesson from those beautiful verses of the Quran. Look at the third example. He says, as for the wall, there was a treasure underneath it belonging to two youngsters who were good youngsters in the city. And had the wall fallen, the people would have seen the treasure and usurped it because the children were a little bit young. But now that the wall is upright, it will only come to collapse at a certain time when those youngsters will be old enough to know where the treasure is, and then they will get it. So the rightful owners will get what belongs to them. So sometimes Allah leaves certain things in order for it to get to the rightful people. And so we learn so much, as I said, from these particular verses of the Quran. Look at those who would like to achieve from the Quran. Like I said, Allah gives you children. Allah chooses what He gives you. Allah decides not to give you. That's just one example. The same can be applied in every aspect of our lives. What you have, sometimes we have a business deal, it goes wrong. Sometimes you have a business deal. You could be a multi-millionaire, but your business deal went so wrong that you lost absolutely everything and came to the ground. Why? Read the Quran, draw the lessons from it. You will understand why. Allah is showing you, oh man, maybe we took away all your wealth because we did not want your children to kill each other after you over that wealth that you left. So it was depleted towards the end of your life. Your children are united. Priceless. Allahu Akbar. I'm sure you relate to what I'm saying. So many families of the wealthy, when the wealthy pass away, brothers stop speaking. They cheat their sisters. Someone was telling me nowadays the sisters are so sharp, they are cheating their brothers. I haven't seen that yet. It's just a statement I heard. Whatever the case, we have a lesson to learn. You try your best. You ask Allah. And if you are a person who just sits back and says, right, you know what? My sustenance is written. Whatever is supposed to come will come. And I'm at home. So if the ceiling is supposed to drop open or open up, and the ringgits or the dollars, whatever is supposed to drop down, it will come. I believe in Allah and I really lay my trust in Him. That's why I'm sitting at home. Then you haven't read the Quran. You haven't understood. It's like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, a very intelligent thief, was brought forth to him at the time. You know, when we speak of the Sharia, my brothers and sisters, Sharia is barbaric. We need to learn it. Education is what wipes out ignorance, nothing else. You need to learn, you need to spend time, you need to keep on searching until you have satisfactory answers. Keep on searching. And you will find there will come a point where you stop because you have conviction and you understand the greater plan of Allah. Sometimes the brains of man do not come up with solutions, but we think, wow, what a good solution. And over time we find that, you know what, it's something that doesn't work. We believe today in democracy, but I still believe it needs to be fine-tuned. I think you agree as well. Fine-tuning, which means as is, if it is implemented. And this is why laws keep on changing. Because as is, you will find man-made anything would need refinement until one day it will acknowledge what the Almighty has revealed to say, here it is, solution. Once again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So the point being raised, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. We don't have an understanding sometimes because we are ignorant. The more you learn, the more you will know. I was saying a thief was once brought to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and that's how I diverted to say the Sharia is not barbaric. Because people say, what is the Sharia? You know what's the first answer? I've heard young and old. I've asked the question. It's all about cutting hands and stoning to death. What? Is that how small your mind is? Is that really what you think the Sharia? You're supposed to say, it's a set of laws in order to protect myself and yourselves, entire humanity and all the creatures of the Almighty, including the entire ecosystem and all animals and plants. Wow. You sound a bit like the 21st century. But how do we answer? We don't know. We just think, hey, Sharia. You say, oh, bah, you know, I wonder what's going to happen. Allahu Akbar. No. So if they say it's all about cutting of hands, they don't know what they're talking about. To cut a hand is only the limit, the highest penalty for a crime. If a person has been convicted upon the highest level of evidence, that's the only time, and I'm wording it simply, that the right hand would actually be amputated at the wrist. What are the chances of that happening? Very small. But a thief will be penalized with a lesser penalty if all the conditions which are very stringent are not met. So this is why a lot of the thieves are jailed. A lot of them are penalized, perhaps fined and so on. But a few, I'd like to think those who are foolish, because in order for the hand to be amputated, a person needs to be a sane adult who has been witnessed by good people, minimum of two, who have seen the crime happening, and this person was taking something of value, something of higher than a specific amount of value. So if it's lower than that value, then you can penalize him in a different way, but you're not allowed to cut his hand because it's too cheap. You know, a man steals a chewing gum from the shop, say, come here. You can't do that, you know. It's something much deeper than that. So of a certain value taken from a place which was considered secure for that particular item. So if your wallet is sticking out of your back pocket because of you wearing your jeans halfway down, it's not the fault of the thug completely, but you are slightly guilty of having invited him. So he will be penalized, but not upon that limit of penalization, which means cutting of hand. So I'm just giving you a glimpse into it. So the Sharia is very complex. A thief was brought to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and every droplet of evidence was against him to the highest degree. He deserved that his right hand be amputated, according to the constitution, obviously according to the Sharia. So he was sharp. This is the point I was raising. Very intelligent. He says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader, how can you cut my hand? How can you decide? You are a believer. You want to cut my hand when you believe in predestiny, and so do I. It was predestined that I was supposed to steal. So how can you now come and cut my hand? But the Amir was one sharper than him. That is a powerful, you know, argument to say, do you believe in predestiny? Well, then this was written. It was written. You had to make an effort. You are responsible for your choices. But to answer a man like that, you needed a man like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Do you know what he says? He says, oh yes, you believe in predestiny and you are a mu'min. And you know it was predestined that we were going to cut your hand so you can tell the Jallad to bring his knife and to come and engage in the operation. Wow, what an answer. So you don't blame predestiny for your failure. Nobody can get up to a judge and say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm a Muslim. I believe in taqdeer. Do you know what taqdeer is? He says, well, you don't blame me. Go and blame the sheikh in the masjid who taught me about it. No ways. When we read the Quran, we need to understand. There are verses that are easily understood for everyone. Like I started by saying, the first type of verses are stories of the past. We still just diverted on that only. The second type of verses are those that make mention of the prophecies to come in the future. So Allah speaks about the day of judgment.
Al-haqqatu mal-haqqatu wa ma adraka mal-haqqah.
Powerful verses of Surah Al-Haqqah. Check its meaning. You will find it's powerful. Allah is telling you that day which is definitely going to come, the reality. Do you know what it is? And Allah explains that is the day that this will happen and that will happen. In Surah Al-Hajj, for example, at the beginning Allah says, the day of judgment, the sound will come, the breastfeeding mother will forget what she is doing, people will be running around as though they are drunk, but they will not be intoxicated. It will be the torment of that day, and the mountains will be flying like clouds in the atmosphere, and the skies will be rolled up and disappear. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! You will see cracks in the sky. You will see a crack. Today you look at the sky and it looks like a perfect, you know, it is air that comes and it looks blue to us. Allah says, we'll crack it up and roll it up. It will be gone. I wonder what will be seen at the time. But Allah describes it, things are going to come to an end. He says, the earth will spit out whatever it is holding, because whatever was in it was for you. We put it on the earth for you. You want to know why there is gold and silver and platinum, diamonds and iron ore and everything else, and natural gas and oil under the earth? You know why? Allah says it in the Quran. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. Allah has created for you everything that is on the earth. You must make use of it within specific rules and regulations. Amazing. So Allah speaks about the future and He tells us what is going to happen, where we are going to head. Heaven and hell, and what the signs of the day of judgment. Some of them are mentioned in the Quran in beautiful detail. And some other details were mentioned by the messenger who brought the Quran. He obviously knew the explanation of it better than anybody else. So we found, subhanallah, the second type of verses where the future is made mention. The third type of verses, which are not many, the rules and regulations governing how you shall live in this world. That's the third type of verses. Amazing. So that's the Quran. It has stories of the past for me and you to derive lesson from. It has something of the future for us to believe where we are going, answering the questions we spoke about moments ago. The past also, answering questions. Where was I? Allah gives you the answer where you were. Where am I right now? So Allah has sent down rules and regulations how to live, because whilst I'm in this world for a few years, I need happiness, I'm searching for it. I need contentment, I'm searching for it. I swear by Allah, who has raised the skies without pillars, or with pillars that we cannot see. I swear by Him, you will not achieve contentment unless you open the pages of the Quran, understand it and put it into practice. It will lead you to the sunnah, meaning to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you achieve complete contentment when you make yourself subservient to your maker. You can get up in the morning so early and you are praying for the sake of your maker because he's made it obligatory for you, but you don't realize that what you are achieving is actually good health. Your computer system that is in your mind is getting in order. You are happy through the day. Your sleeping patterns are governed by regulations that you are following regarding the religion of a nature that you might not even know that this is helping a certain aspect of my existence. It's amazing. So this is why people say, you know, why should women be covered? I can tell you, there is a minimum covering even for men. Even for men. There are so many reasons. When you are covered, there is so much benefit that is derived by it. I can only make mention of one or two. You know, like I always say, we are ordered to lower our gaze. We are ordered not to look around and so on more than what we are permitted. And obviously that's the bare minimum. And if you look at one of the main benefits, today the divorce rates are very high. People are not happy. I was speaking to a group of youngsters who told me why, who asked me a question, why are divorce rates very high? I said, because you bought a Samsung S4. So they thought I was meaning that it means how you're using WhatsApp or Viber, maybe, you know, the other Facebook and Twitter. You can use it for benefit or you can use it for harm. It depends how you use it. You are responsible, you know. Really, these are tools that are sharper than a knife. They can actually slice you within a split moment. If you make one big blunder in there, believe me, it will take you less than a split second, especially in a country like this, that the LTE actually works. You know, when others hear it, they might be wondering, what did he say? Because you know what I said, in this country you know. The 4G internet actually operates, it actually works. Subhanallah, other countries it doesn't work. You know? So, it's quicker for you to destroy your whole life. Because when you press send, for you to cancel it or switch off your phone quickly or remove your battery, it's already gone across the globe. 26,000 people have seen it already. It's over. Allah protect us. So, they thought that perhaps I said no. We have a habit of renewing our apparatus and our stuff that we have in life every time we see an update. So it seeps to our spouse, husband or wife. My husband is 1975. Today we are in 2013. So the model that is actually operating today was born in 90 something. That's the mentality which is not acknowledged, but it's in operation. It happens. You see, this is why, like I say, you can be driving the best Mercedes Benz, the best one. You just bought it now. They deliver it to your doorstep, latest S-Class, mashallah, with those xenon lights in the front and the LEDs and what have you. And subhanallah, the keyless go, and now maybe there'll come a time when they can recognize your eyes and all that because of the S4. They're going to take that technology. But as soon as you see the 2014 model or a model slightly better than yours on the street, what do you do? This car of mine is nothing. But the car is so beautiful. It served you. It took you 100,000 kilometers. Now that you saw another one, you'd hate your vehicle. Until you didn't see it, it was the best car. You were driving so happily, proudly on the street. Oh, mashallah, everyone, you happy people are looking at me. And you know, they're saying, wow, what a nice car, you know. And you're so excited. Now that you saw another one, life is over. You are depressed. And you phone Mercedes, I want to order the other one. Because you can afford it. So, had you not seen the other Mercedes, you would have remained happy for 50 years. Lower your gaze, my brother. Allahu Akbar. Allah bless us and grant us ease. This is why we say, you made your choice. You got married in 2000 and something or 19 something. Alhamdulillah, lower your gaze. Be happy with your Mercedes. Alhamdulillah. Wallahi, it's a fact. So when people say, you know, the women are, I'm free to undress. Okay, let's look at what happens. That means, you know, people might say, okay, you're free. Free in the sense that perhaps, you know, no one will actually point fingers at you. People might encourage you and so on to do the right thing. But your husbands collectively, all of us as men collectively, men think a little bit differently from women, especially when it comes to this type of thing. I got to be careful how I word it because today, you know. So what happens is, if the women are all like that, everyone has something to compare his wife with. My dear wife, you stand a very small chance. Or no chance, I'm sorry to say. Because I will definitely see a set of legs better than yours. And I'm definitely going to see hair better than yours. And those features, whoa. Allahu Akbar. This is a reality. You know, people might think that how we are Muslims, we need to go as far as what I'm saying now to explain to people, look, you are sitting and gazing, but you are never going to get that woman unless you do something haram, prohibited, which will result in your life being destroyed. You lose your children, your wife, your spouse. You lose so much of wealth and so much, you might lose your health. You break her family, yours and everyone's, and that's what you're going to get. Why? Because your mind is such, you're just looking. Your eyes are, the hadith says, spears of the devil sometimes, because you have now seen something that you're going to fight for. You want the number, you want the Bluetooth. Now they've got pink teeth also. And so what happens is, you go across and you start thinking what's going on. And you're not happy. At night you have such a beautiful wife, but you're looking at the ceiling. And as you saw the dazzling light, you can still see that face in the ceiling. Wallahi, it's a reality. So go back to the Quran. and go and study what Allah says. Allah says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Tell the believing males to lower their gazes and protect their chastity and protect their private parts. Direct verse, Allah says. Direct verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell the believing men to lower their gazes. It is better for you. It is more pure for you, Allah says. You will be a happier person. You will be a person who acknowledges and appreciates what Allah has bestowed upon him. And the very next verse, Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and tell the believing females to also lower their gazes. And to also to dress appropriately, not to undress or to provoke in a manner that people will keep on looking. I have been the cause of the breakage of so many homes. I don't even know. Why? Just because I walked around semi-nude. It's a fact. It has happened. So many people are unhappy with good wives who served them for 20 years and born 4 children for them. They're not happy with them. Why? Because we went to the beach yesterday. Wallahi, it's a fact. So my brothers and sisters, the answers for this in the Quran. We are not at all trying to say that, you know, people don't have the freedom to make their choices, especially, you know, we're talking of the secular world here. No, you have the freedom of choices, but you have also the freedom of looking into things and adopting certain solutions for issues that you might be in. So when I look at my spouse, for example, her hair, I appreciate, you know, really, her complexion, I appreciate. Whatever Allah has bestowed upon her, I appreciate. I'm not interested in comparing. I'm not interested in, you know, this and that. So these youngsters whom I was saying this to, they were just looking and saying, Subhanallah, it is so valid. But you started off by saying, because you have an S4. It's just a way of talking to youngsters, because you need to, today when we give examples, we need to give new examples. They gave examples at that time which were valid. And they still perhaps are valid, but it might need deeper thinking for someone to take the lesson from it. I've given you an example. So where do we get the solution? In the Quran. I was saying the third type of verses, the rules and regulations governing how you should live. So you have the entire Sharia, and the root of it is the Quran, the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mashallah. So these are the three categories of the types of verses in terms of content that we have. The types of verses in terms of content. You have past tense, future tense, and the present, the rules and regulations. And as for the categories of the Quran, the three categories of the Quran regarding the understanding of it are as follows. So the Quran and its verses are categorized into three categories regarding the understanding of it. One, those that are understood very easily. And I've told you the stories of the past, some of the verses, you know, Allah says, Allah praises Himself, and He declares so many different things in the Quran. I'd like to think the bulk of the verses are very, very easily understood. Remember, these verses were revealed at a time when the bulk of the people were unlettered. Unlettered. They could not read or write, most of them. So for us who can read or write, you know, it would not be very difficult to comprehend a lot of the verses of the Quran. But there is a second category. What is the second category? Verses that you have not understood. So I read a verse, I say, hey, this verse says, O you who believe. Or it says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are asking you about alcohol and gambling. Tell them there is good in it and there is bad in it, and the bad is more than the good. And I say, oh, so there's good in alcohol? Maybe it's called a tot, you know. They say, this man has had a tot of it. I see, mashallah, we didn't really pick up what I've just said. So it's good. It means we're not drunkards, alhamdulillah. So, that's not what it is. You don't understand it. I was taught that alcohol is haram in Islam. It's not allowed. So what's the answer to it? What do you do when you have a single question? Even the slightest bit of a question that crops into your mind. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ. Ask those who have knowledge. If you don't know, if you don't understand, they will respond to you with revelation and clear signs. And you will find out if you ask those who have knowledge. So if I'm reading the meaning of the Quran, And I have a question. Immediately, I must ask that question to someone who knows. And the one who knows may not know everything. So it's good for him sometimes to say, ask someone else, I don't know. Subhanallah. And please do yourself a favor. If you are going to use Sheikh Google, you need to know how to use him. Because it can really be of detriment to you. You know, when you Google things, sometimes Google can lie, because Google is so big, so huge. You know what I'm talking about. He can lead you to someone who knows nothing about your question and yet provides answers. So the point being made is the second type of verses, those which a question comes into your mind regarding, ask about it. Sometimes they are verses of war, verses which seem very heavy and hard. Ask about them. Ask and keep on asking. What about these verses? There are verses in the Quran that make mention of fighting and killing and so on. What about those verses? And you will have the answer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your doors of understanding if you are really keen on finding the proper answers for those questions. The third type of verses, those verses that nobody knows the meaning of besides Allah. So one might ask, well, why are they in the Quran? There are very few of these, very, very few. They are made up of separated letters. So at the beginning of the surahs that were revealed in Mecca, most of those surahs that were revealed in Mecca, the beginning of those surahs, you find they are separated letters. Or let me word it differently. Those surahs that have separated letters at the beginning, all of them were revealed in Mecca besides the first two. So the minute you see separated letters such as Ta-ha, you know this is revealed in Mecca. The minute you see Yasin, revealed in Mecca. Kaf, Ha Ya Ayn Sad, revealed in Mecca. What does it mean? Allah alone knows what it means. But I can tell you one of the benefits of these verses. The kuffar of Quraysh were the most eloquent at the time. They used to become leaders based on how powerful their speech was. If a person unknown to Quraysh got up and started uttering poetry that was powerful, they made him one of their leaders. Do you know that? Because he was eloquent. So, they were told that the Quran is full of eloquence. Don't listen to it. So they didn't want to listen to it. And the Quran comes up with verses. Alif Lam Mim. They were baffled. The most highly educated from amongst them was gobsmacked. He didn't know what just struck him. And he was so curious that he had to listen to the next part of it. And mostly after that, there is an oath that is taken, or the Quran is being made mention of. Today we heard the reciter reading in front of us. Beautiful recitation. What did he read? He said, Alif Lam Mim. And immediately after that, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. That verse is displaying the greatness of Allah and the fact that He is alive. He never sleeps. He never falters. He's not oblivious. And then Allah says, Nazzala alayka al-kitaba. He has revealed to you the book. So look at the book being made mention of. This was drawing the attraction of the people of Quraysh. It was beautiful. It was lovely. One of the benefits. But what is the exact meaning of these verses? I don't know. Ista'thar Allahu bihi fi ilmi. Allah alone has kept that knowledge. One day we will find out when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the three types of verses. Now, if anyone says, I'm not going to read the Quran and its meaning because I might get confused, they have insulted Allah. Because Allah created you, my brothers and sisters. Allah has created you. And you are going to live in this world once, just once. And for Allah to have created you with a manual, and you live the life without reading the manual, you would be foolish. Allah says, do you think we would leave you unguided? We sent to you guidance. We sent to you reminders. This is why it is reported that when the people are entering hellfire, the gatekeepers of hellfire, the angels, will ask them a question. What is the question? A beautiful question Allah makes mention of in Surah Zumar.
وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا قَالُوا بَلَى.
They will say, didn't messengers come to you from amongst you reading the verses of Allah to you and reminding you of this particular day? Did no one come to you? Did Allah not send messengers to you? Did the messages not come to you? Were verses not revealed to you? Meaning, were verses not read to you, recited to you? And the answer will come, yes indeed, people came, they reminded us, verses were read, we were unfortunate, we turned a deaf ear, a blind eye. May Allah not make us from those. So it's our duty to pick up the Quran and read it. It's the word of Allah. Allah says, like I said at the beginning, in Surah Sa'd, the reason that we've revealed this book is for its verses to be pondered over by you, O man. Ponder over the verses of Allah. May Allah open our doors, pick up. And remember, as I said, the English language is an attempt of man to translate the word of Allah. This is why whenever you have a translation, we are taught that ideally have the Arabic on one side and the English on the other. I'm sure 9 times out of 10, when you open a translation Quran, you find the Arabic on one side and the English. Do you know why? Because the translator is telling you, that is the word of Allah. This is my attempt to explain to you in my way, the way I have understood it, the word of Allah. So you will have translators who have explained different aspects. And this is why you keep on asking, you keep on learning, and you will see, and your knowledge will be increased by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's amazing, and it's a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever a question comes up in your mind, never ever just decide on an answer on your own without referring to the scholars of knowledge. This is why ideally it is best for you to attend a lesson by a scholar of knowledge who can actually explain to you the verses in person so that you can ask questions and get them answered immediately. And if he does not know the answer, he can come up with it the following day, or you can ask someone else. But for you to just think up on your own, hey, so this is an error. You see, this is very bad, you know. Like sometimes certain things are mentioned regarding women in the Quran. And people say, oh, a woman is oppressed. Why? Because look at inheritance. Look at the laws of inheritance. She gets half. No. Do you know the explanation of it? There is an explanation. Not every scholar will be able to explain it in the same way. But there is a powerful explanation. If you don't know it, ask about it. You shall be told. But don't just arrive at a conclusion. Your maker is telling you, we made you, we know. We made you different. Male is different from female, physically. But there are so many other aspects where they are equal completely. And there are other aspects where a woman is raised above a man in certain ways. Certain things Allah has blessed a woman with that He has not given a man. So Allah has put you in your place and your position. You are ready to take it, you achieve contentment. You're not ready? Well, you might be searching for contentment your entire life in different things. Only Allah knows how you will get it and when. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and open our doors. So I've mentioned quite a bit this evening. I was supposed to only speak for 45 minutes to an hour. But in Singapore, mashallah, it seems like, you know, the sound is right, the atmosphere is right, the air conditioning is right, mashallah, the people are right. So you carry on speaking a little bit more. And remember one thing, we love each other for the sake of Allah. Brothers and sisters, I've kept you here for a little bit too long, but believe me, if you knew the journey I made to get to you here and that I just arrived today, you would know that perhaps I might be a little bit more tired than you are, but it was such a pleasure to be here this evening. Please pray for me, and I will be praying for you, inshallah. We love one another for the sake of Allah. Like I said, we are connected in one of two ways. Either we are brothers and sisters in faith, or if you're not a Muslim, We are brothers and sisters in humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us and use us to promote goodness. And may we be from amongst those who can definitely make a difference in the lives of others. And inshallah, I end off by saying, وَصَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ